Do not get vanity syndrome. Don't be looking at other people's followers and wondering why you don't have the same amount of followers. Focus on putting out consistent content, valuable, and educating your audience, and focus on that.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. Appreciate everybody being here, being a listener. I am Javier Hinojo, your host of the Naked Truth about Real Estate Investing. And today, I got Josh Kohler. He's out of Chicago, marketing, I want to say genius. I don't know if you use the word guru, but if you're a real estate entrepreneur, want to be a marketer, influencer, he is your contact person. So what we're going to talk about today, like if you're solo, you know, what he can do for you, or if you got a team, what he can do for you, or what he can recommend, some of the mistakes he sees people doing as far as trying to do their own videos. So this is a naked truth. So I don't think no nude pictures for marketing for real estate investors, none of that. No. No,
for real estate investors, I would say no.
Okay, no sex tapes either, guys. So just definitely not. But we're going to get started now. Go ahead and just share a little bit about you to the audience, Josh.
Sure, man. Hey, I appreciate you having me on the show. You know, we've only connected, like skimmed by a couple times here and there, but you're going to be in my town next week. So hopefully we can connect there and then,
hopefully,
you know, get to hang out a little bit. But yeah, I appreciate you having me on. I love the name of the show, Naked Truth. I mean, that's great. I think being real is something that absolutely everybody needs to do, but very few people actually follow through with that. So appreciate you having me on here. Yeah. So my name is Josh Kohler, and I live in the Chicagoland area. Technically, Northwest Indiana is right outside Chicago. And so I've been in the real estate investing industry for about 8, 9 years, going on 9 years now. Some of you guys that are listening know my good buddy, Gary Harper. He actually is the one who got me into real estate here, hired me as a marketing director. We were a massive wholesaling company in the Midwest here. Javier, you may know Wayne Schaefer as well. He's in CG, but I was working for them as well. And we were doing all marketing. We were in 5 different states, and I was 19 years old when I got in. I'm 27 now. And so I had a lot of experience to catch up on. And so I learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes, but got things dialed in. And so then since then, I was with that for about 6, 7 years. And then I was helping with a real estate mastermind that we were building called Good Success. And then I left there in February 2019, and went to do my own thing, started my media business, Kohler Media. Primarily what we do is content marketing management for active real estate investors and real estate influencers. And so if you're a real estate influencer of any kind, podcast host, YouTuber, whatever it is, we manage all that stuff. So I've got about 30 high-end clients that we manage, CG being one of them. You guys probably know plenty of other clients that I have that we're working with. And so it pretty much boils down to management of social media, management of podcasts, management of YouTube, and that kind of thing. A lot more personal brand management is what that comes down to. But then for the active investor, we obviously do video editing and stuff like that. I've got a platform called REI.video where you shoot your own video, send it over, we'll edit it, send it right back to you. And then Javier, I don't know if it's cool. I have a book here.
Yep, for sure.
If it's cool if I talk about that. Yep. So really, really quickly, it's called the REI Marketing Book. So I do have a podcast called the REI Marketing Weekly, which I'm going to have Javier on. We're going to get that scheduled after this.
Yeah, hey, I saw Corey post his picture of his book. So
he did. Yeah,
so he posted it today. So, I think this morning. I think he posted this morning and he got it in the mail.
I need to get Corey on the show too. Yeah. So basically what happened is we have 37 real estate investors that made it in this book. Basically what we did was we took the podcast. This is literally what we're masters at, is just repurposing content. So we took the podcast, turned it into a book, and the first 37 episodes is what we tested it with, kind of like the Tim Ferriss books, that kind of model. But man, this is absolutely, it's a full book, as you can see. So if you want to go check that out, reimarketingbook.com is where you can go get that. It's a free plus shipping offer. I'm a marketer. You're going to be dropping into my funnel. I'm going to be remarketing to you. Just get over it, but you're paying free plus shipping. So go snag that and then give a shout out when you do get it. So that's the basic rundown awesome. There.
Look, so really quick, right? People say, okay, you know, social media, I just want to flip houses. I just want to buy rentals. You know, I just want to build, or I just want to buy apartment buildings, or I just want to do real estate, right? I don't want to market, you know, I don't be on social media, et cetera, right? Facebook, Instagram, ChatFace, whatever other platforms out there, right? You know, I get that. I get that a lot from people, like, yeah, you know, I get it all the time. And I told myself, I started listening to those people at the very beginning when I started my real estate career 6.5 years ago. So I wasn't that active on social media. And then I started getting more active, more active. The funny thing that happened there is I buy apartment buildings, and all of a sudden people started saying, hey, can we partner with you? Hey, I got this deal. I'm like, oh shoot. Wow. The people are sending me deals. Hey, I got some money. Like, oh shoot. People got money. Like, hey, let me partner it. And all of a sudden, like this, my world, my sphere went like from this big to just ginormous, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I had an event this past weekend and I said, hey, who here met me by social media? It was 90% of the people that were there met me through social media, right? So with that said, why should somebody be interested in doing real estate investor, be interested in doing marketing, social media?
That's an incredible question. I'm glad you asked that. And that's a question that not a lot of people ask me, but it's extremely important. So here's the thing. It's exactly the reason of your story, right? What you explained there is the reason why. So here's the thing is a lot of people, you know, in CG, there's a couple of guys that are massive on like TikTok and YouTube. They've got millions of followers, that kind of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. And they're more on the education space in terms of like leading people from social media to their education companies, whether it's learning how to flip houses, learning how to wholesale, whatever it is, a program, masterminds, whatever. If you're an active real estate investor, it's still important to be on here for many reasons. The first thing that I would say is credibility and authority. Without credibility and authority, you have no leverage in your marketing, right? So you can market all day to motivated sellers as a wholesaler in order to get leads to the door by direct mail, text blasting, and cold calling, whatever it is. But at some point, you're going to have to establish credibility and authority in order to close that deal. Now, doing that through social media is a little bit more proactive than reactive. So I look at social media as a proactive marketing because you're proactively putting stuff out there, not to amplify yourself, but to bring value and make the end consumer the hero of the story. It's the whole like story brand scripting and stuff like that by Donna Miller. As an active real estate investor, it's important because it's going to help you bring in like different forms of business for you, especially as getting those bigger fish than just a single family wholesale deal, right? Like it's important for you to connect with people that have private money, that have, maybe you're going to do a partnership with them on a deal or something like that. And that's how you reach them is doing, putting content out, because if people don't know what you do, then you're not going to really attract somebody that you're looking for. And so like, I think of, you know, my good buddy, again, he's in CG, Mark De La Tour. We're producing, he has a podcast called Mistake Free Real Estate. Now he's a turnkey provider and he approaches it a little bit differently if you're a wholesaler, but basically his podcast, he's not looking to be a social media influencer. Javier, I think that's where people really get this whole thing mixed up, right? They think if I'm on social media, that means I got to be an influencer. That means I got to teach people how to flip houses. That means I got to have a program. I got to have a mastermind or a coaching program. And guys, it's just not true. If you have a core business, social media needs to just be straight up marketing. That's how you have to look at it. So with Mark, his podcast, and I throw podcast in there with social media because I think it's kind of in the same category as organic content. But Mark, the reason why he does a podcast is because he's wanting to build credibility and authority inside of the turnkey space so that he could attract buyers to buy deals from him, right? So to buy assets. And so literally he is putting a podcast out there to educate his market on how to buy deals from him. And that's the strategy. So looking at organic content, whether that's on YouTube, podcasting, social media, it doesn't matter what it is. It's all about leverage and positioning yourself as the authority in your space. Now, let's take, for instance, I'm not sure 100% sure what your audience looks like, Javier, but you know, from my podcast, I know a large majority of mine are wholesalers. So they'll always ask me, why do I need to be on social media? Well, here's the thing is that you never know who's watching you. And in today's day and age, if you don't have a social media presence, especially like the funniest thing I get is Facebook ads don't work. I've been running Facebook ads and they don't work. And then I go to the Facebook page and they have nothing on their Facebook page. Well, it's because there's no credibility behind your ad that you're running to push money behind it, right? So if I click on an ad from, say, you know, I just got a new tattoo a couple of days ago and I keep getting hit up with an ad from an ointment that you can like, you know, put on and that kind of thing. Now, if I clicked on the ad and I went to their Facebook page and there was nothing on there, why would I buy from them? Right? Like no credibility. Even, sure. And people will say, well, they'll go to your website. It's the same thing. Like people use Facebook pages almost like websites as well. And so if you have nothing on your website, now we're going into that. Now you got to have content on your website. It's the same thing. It's your approach should be the same principles. It's to build authority, to build a credibility, and to bring value. If you're not bringing value to your audience through social media, then you're going to be, you know, kind of whispers in the wind. And that's all it's going to be. And you know the power of this, right? It's like, it's going to bring you deals all day long. And I even know a couple of wholesalers in my market that post on social media, and it's literally to just recruit bird dogs. And bird dogs is one of the best ways to market, by the way, because it's very low cost. You only pay it out when you get a deal. So that's some things, man. And it, we could go all day on this, but that's the primary thing.
So let me ask you this. What do you see mistake, right? What's the biggest mistake you see a real estate investor do on social media or not do on social media? Besides not doing social media.
Yeah, besides that. So here's the thing. I think that there's two types of people. There's people who say, you need to be on everything out there. And then there's people that say, you should only be on a couple of things, handful of things. When it goes down to it, I mean, I know several people that will say, you have to be everywhere on social media. You got to have a TikTok. You got to have a YouTube channel. You got to have an Instagram account. You got to have a Facebook page, a LinkedIn. And when you get into that world, it can get very overwhelming to put content out and posts on all those platforms until you have a systemized process. You know, maybe you're working with somebody like us where we're literally posting for you. And that's what most of our clients are having us do. But at the end of the day, you can't overwhelm yourself. Just like anything else in marketing, you can't just turn on 50 marketing channels and expect to get like all these results. Because if you do that, first of all, you're going to get overwhelmed. Secondly, you're not going to know where that money is going because it's going to be very hard to track because you're literally opening up things very quickly. And it's just a recipe for disaster. So what I would say is one of the biggest mistakes is people try to jump on everything. And it's the old adage, if you are a jack of all trades, you're what? A master of none. Some of the best people that are on social media have a very strong audience on one platform and then a secondary audience on another one, which is normally about a tenth of the following from their primary channel, whether that's a YouTube channel, an Instagram account, or a TikTok following. And that's the thing. But you're using these other platforms to push people back to the pillar, which again, maybe it's your YouTube channel or a podcast. But trying to be on all these platforms at once is a big mistake. You want to pick out, this is where the whole marketing adage is making sure that you know your target demographic very well, know where they hang out, know what behaviors they're taking, know what they're consuming. Go to those platforms first. And then once you've mastered them and you've got a systemized way to get your presence established on that platform, then break into another one and then break into another one and rinse and repeat. And so that's a big mistake. A second thing I think along with that real quick is people trying to overcomplicate it. I don't know how many people, Javier, I've visited and they had $10,000 worth of equipment, camera gear and podcast mics and just a massive set of studio lights and all that. And they hadn't touched it once. So here's the thing. If you make it complicated for yourself, you're not going to do it. I'm a professional content creator and my setup is super simple. I keep it as simple as possible. If I'm going on a video shoot, I have a camera, I have a mic and I have a tripod. Boom, done. I don't even use lights. I have all that in post-production. We've gotten really good at that. But keeping it simple is the best way to stay consistent with it. And if we know anything, Javier, inside of any marketing, consistency is the key, no matter what anybody says. And so if you make it complicated for yourself, you're not going to keep up with it. It's going to get tiresome, going to get overwhelming, and then you're going to say it doesn't work. But the truth is that you just overcomplicated it. So those are the two biggest bugaboos that I see when it comes to this world.
All right. So don't jump in and do everything at once. You're going to get overwhelmed. Then you're not going to do it. You're not going to have a steady consistency. That's what I heard. I heard that consistency a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then don't overcomplicate it, right? It's like, okay, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I, whatever, just start throw some content
simple. Out. Start simple and then work your way up.
Yep. Yeah. So what would you say, right? To somebody who said, okay, so it's just, I'm a one man show, you know, where should I start? And then to follow up with that is saying, hey, somebody says, hey, I'm a one man show, or I got a team already, or I've already got a business rolling. How do you come in and help me? So how can somebody, what's the first step, somebody to do a solo? And then what does it look like if somebody comes up and says, hey, Josh, can you help me out with my stuff?
Yeah. So if you're solo, my recommendation is, this isn't a pitch at all. I would tell anybody this, even if you're not, and here's the thing, Javier, I don't work with everybody. I probably turn down 3 times as many people as I work with because we're very niched in what we do and it's a very high level service. And so I just can't take on everybody. So that's why the content I put out is to teach people how to do what I do, right? So the biggest thing I would tell you is if you're a one-man team, be willing to delegate and outsource as much as you possibly can. If you're a business owner of any type, you should know this already. Like at first, you're going to have to hustle and grind and do all the grunt work and do everything yourself. But at some point, in order for you to scale up in your business, you've got to delegate. Well, it's the same thing with marketing and it's the same thing with this. Guys, listen, there's so many facets of marketing, so many different silos inside of silos of marketing that you can do. And you cannot learn all of it. I do not know a single marketer that knows everything about marketing. And I know some of the top marketers, especially in our industry for sure, but I know some of the top marketers in the country. And if you ask them to design a logo, they can't design a logo. They can tell you if one looks good, but that just proves my point. You can't just do everything yourself.
Sure.
So be willing to outsource, be willing to find people that will actually be able to implement what your goals are, what your strategies are, find those professionals, and don't be afraid to hire them. Because again, I think that's a good point, Javier, because if you have an active business, one of the first questions you asked was, if I have an active business, should I be on social? Well, one of the reasons why they're active wholesalers, let's just say it's a wholesaler, they start going on social. What happens, I see a lot of times, is if they try to do everything themselves, then their business will actually start to slip a little bit. We actually just parted ways with a client because of this. They had a flipping business, and then they were trying to get into the education space to actually like have a program, a mastermind and all that, put all that together. And they went balls to the walls on that. And then all of a sudden, their real estate business started losing deals. They stopped making money. And they're like, okay, we got to cut this education off and go back to the core business, right? So be willing to delegate that stuff. And a lot of the things was they were trying to do stuff on their own. It was really difficult for them to keep up with it. And so you have a core business, focus on that and be willing to outsource. That's the first thing I would say. I think Upwork's a great place. A lot of my team members are on Upwork, and that's a great place to find any creatives whatsoever. So if you need a graphic designer, a video editor, you need somebody to edit podcasts, manage YouTube channels, social media, whatever it is, write for you, Upwork is a great place to find those people for you. And then you just got to keep in mind, you're going to have to manage those people. You're just not doing the task, right? So that's the fine line. Now, then that leads me into the flip side. So say you do have a team, say you do have everything systemized. You do understand, like, I've got the capital to be able to hire people to do this stuff for me, to manage my social, to manage my podcast or YouTube channel. Then that's when you bring somebody like myself on. My team actually does everything for you. So like I said, at the last part of that, if you're solo, you've got to manage everything. Well, when you're at a point where you're not managing the creatives, it's a wonderful thing. Even on my team, I don't manage my creatives. I have a COO that manages the rest of the team. I manage the clients. So there's a difference there. And so if you're going to have us work with you, then it's going to be like, we don't want your hands in just about anything at all. We're going to have some exercises. We're going to walk you through, like, what are your goals look like? What are you trying to achieve with the content? What does your sales funnel look like? That's really important, guys. And then now we'll plug in what we do into that so that you're actually getting ROI, you're getting leads for what you're doing. And so that's kind of the nutshell, man. Again, I think speaking to people that are doing it solo is going back to what I said, keep it simple. Everybody starts at zero. Do not get vanity syndrome. Don't be looking at other people's followers and wondering why you don't have the same amount of followers. Focus on putting out consistent content, valuable, and educating your audience, and focus on that. That's the end game, man.
All right. So we talked about if you're going solo, we talked about if you have a team, make sure you delegate. You definitely try to find the who to do the what if you can afford it.
Yeah,
that's one absolutely. Of my models, right? Brought on a full-time videographer last week. He's like, what's my duty? I said, I don't know. Let me write that out. Let me talk to my COO. I said, your duty is to make me look good. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. That's a good point. And I want to hit on that real quick, because now Javier's job is to say, hey, I don't need to look and see what your job description is. You need to tell me what I'm going to do.
Exactly. Right? So because
you look at the videographer and say, hey, I want you to figure out YouTube. I want you to figure out what we need to do contextually to film good YouTube videos, get that out there, edit them correctly, distribute them correctly with all the metadata. You go figure that out. Now that's Javier's job to make sure that guy does that. And if he doesn't follow through and Javier's having to manage him and micromanage and say like, hey, I need you to make sure you edit this way or whatever. Well, it's not a good person for that job, right?
Yeah. I definitely can't tell them. That's why they're the professional, right? That's why they're being hired to do that, right? So
exactly.
So it's going to be interesting here next few weeks on that transition. So let me ask you this question. I know you did some real estate investing in the past. Now you have your marketing company. So I always ask in the show, what is the biggest mistake? This is the naked truth. What is the biggest mistake that you've made? We'll talk about the marketing company in your marketing company.
Oh, profit. Jesus. So profit was one of the biggest things. Guys, listen, I think we've all been here. I don't know. Like, this is naked truth. So I think we've all been here, Javier, and it's about to get really vulnerable. But if you're managing your business finances from the checking account, then you're doing it wrong. it's the reality, man. It sucks, but I know a lot of people start that way.
Resonates.
Right?
It does resonate. I'm sure it resonates to a lot of people listening right now.
And it's just something that's not scalable. It's not manageable. Yeah. If you're a one-man show, maybe you have a partner, maybe you have one or two employees, then you could get away with it. But once you start to grow, like I've got 15 team members now, it's not possible for me to be able to manage my finances that way. And even so much to where, like, I need to understand the finances, but I shouldn't be the one that manages everything. Sure. So I've got a fractional CFO. Many of you guys know David Richter with Simple CFO Solutions, and
highly recommend it, guys. Highly recommend it.
Absolutely. So we've been using him since November, and I actually went to high school with David. So we are.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That.
But yeah, so we brought them on, and Profit First is probably one of the best systems, especially if you're a real estate investor. I think it's one of the best financial systems that you could have. But we actually brought a fractional CFO on. So anything budget wise, anything like that, like they've even gotten to where looking at my personal finances, like what does it cost? Because that's the whole Profit First model is to like pay the CEO first, right? And make sure that they're taken care of. And so they've gotten so deep into where like they're figuring out my personal finances and what does it take for Josh Culler to live a good life and keep that lifestyle that he has, that kind of thing. So I highly recommend that. But I think the biggest thing that for me was, I don't know if you saw it, like I posted in the CG Facebook group, what was it, maybe December, and we had some major profit issues. I thought we were going to go underwater, and it turns out that I was not alone, and I was definitely not the worst, because I had some people saying they were millions of dollars in debt. And I'm like, I'm only like $17,000 in debt.
So, oh my gosh.
Man. So, but anyway, it was great to hear that. Yeah. But I mean, like, you have to get these things in line. If you do not manage your money correctly as a business, you will not survive, period. So take that as a priority. It's your job as a CEO to manage the finances, get it done correctly, or else you're going to tank really hard. And honestly too, like we grew the most we ever had in that last quarter of 2020, but we actually made less money than we did in 2019 in that quarter, and had less than half the clients. Wow. So it was rough, but then we turned it around. We got Profit First implemented. We had Dave come in and like literally structure everything. And we went from like 2% profit in the fourth quarter of last year to the first quarter of this year, we're at like 31.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's for
good
sure.
To, it's
yeah,
good to know you got money in the bank.
Yeah, David's great. Yeah, he's on the podcast too. So anybody listening to the podcast, just search for David on the podcast, and yeah, he's on it. So
that's the biggest mistake, man, by far. Is making
it was
sure you got
very
profit.
Interesting talking to him, because everything he was saying, it hit close to home. You know, I flip houses. It was like famine, right? It was like I'm killing it, or I'm like, oh shoot, I got no money. It was insane.
Well, here's the thing too, man. I hear this is a danger that I hear a lot of people talk about, and I actually was just on my podcast right before yours with Jay Connor. And he was talking about like how many deals he does. He does, you know, 2 to 3 deals a month. And from an outside perspective, you're like, that's not a lot. How are you making money on that? Well, the dude does like 6-figure spreads on almost every single deal. Yeah. And so it's a lot less about, and I hear a lot of educators that preach like hustle and grind, that kind of thing. And then they're talking about like, we brought in $10 million of revenue last year. Revenue is shit. Who cares about revenue? You could buy a house for $10 million. Sell it for $10 million and $1. And you guys understand now you've revenued over, you know, $10 million, but you made $1. You kept it, right? It's all about how much money you keep, not about what you make. So profit.
Awesome. Cool. All right, Josh. So we talked about don't overcomplicate. If you're starting to do social media on your own, if you can hire it out, go ahead and hire it out, outsource, use Upwork. We talked about how watch your cash, right? Cash flow is king. Cash flow is king. There's a lot of businesses out there and that get cash poor, and that's why they fail. So
absolutely.
We definitely talked about that. Awesome. I want to go ahead and take you to the next part of the podcast, which is actually my favorite part, which I'm going to bring up the naked roulette. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you 4 random questions, right? So the audience is going to get a chance to know who
Man,
who
I like this. This is cool.
All right. So just 4 random questions. Let's see. I'm not going to give you a pass either. So let's roll.
Got it. No passes.
All right. When something breaks, do you replace or do you fix it?
I try to fix it first and then replace. So like, here's the thing. Time is the most important thing to me. I could give 2 shits about money. Time is what I value the most, right? So if I can fix it in an ample amount of time, then I'll fix it, right? And especially like in the business, right? I mean, I don't know if we're talking about, I assume it's like something physical or something that's, you know, in the business. Like for instance, if a process breaks, well, hey, we got to fix that, right? No matter how much time it takes. So it's going to be subjective, but at the end of the day, like if it's something that takes too much time or time from me, I'll go find somebody to fix it for me, or I'll just replace it if it takes too much time, because it's far, you know, take for instance, like if I have a vehicle that breaks down and it's just taken way too much time out of my hands, well, I'm just going to go buy another vehicle because time is so valuable for me. So
hopefully
I explained that.
Awesome. Well, but you give it a shot. You try to fix it.
There's some subjectiveness to that. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't work right away. Let's replace it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's the way I do it. I'll try to just see if I can fix it. After a little while, I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Question number two.
Big money, big money. Here we go.
Big money, right?
I like this. This is cool, man. I've never seen anybody do this before on a show.
This is so favorite band, song, artist.
Oh, man.
What do you listen to when you work out, man? Something like that.
Music is one of my favorite things to talk about. So I might shock some people here. I don't know if you don't know me very well, so maybe I'll shock you too. And I'd like to hear if I shock you.
Good.
So I am very much into heavy metal. The heavier, the better. And I'm not talking about, like, I love Metallica and Korn and stuff like that, but I'm talking like death metal type stuff is what I like. So, but if it came down to it, if I had to pick one show that I would go to, it would definitely be Slipknot. Slipknot. And then the song All Out Life is my favorite song by them. It's a newer song.
All Out Life. Okay. I'm going to put that on while we have dinner tonight.
That's going to be, dude, that is a great dinner song. You will love it.
Okay, cool. I will let my wife know that you chose that song.
That's great.
All right, man. Question number three.
I shock people all the time when I tell them
that's
I
awesome,
to heavy
man.
Metal.
That's super cool.
Like, I thought you listened to hip hop or something. Like, yeah. I did in high school. But
all right, would you rather be a villain or a hero for a day? Hero or villain for a day?
A villain, man. Like, like growing up, I was into like Star Wars and superheroes. The villains are always the coolest. They always have the coolest powers. They always got the coolest like gadgets and stuff. So. Definitely. And they look the most badass.
Yeah,
so.
They did.
Definitely they a did. Villain.
Except for Kylo Ren. He kind of cried in the first Star Wars he came. I was disappointed. I was so disappointed.
He looked awesome. And then he took the mask off and I was like, well, yeah, damn. Okay.
and then he cried and then he got beat by a brand new Jedi.
That's right. That's so, right.
Anyways. That's right. All right. That's enough of that. Okay. Let's go. Last question. Let's roll.
Man, I love this. This makes it fun, Javier. This is good.
Awesome. Appreciate it. I'm glad you like it. All right. Oh, shoot. Okay. If you were transported 400 years in the past with no clothes or anything else on you, how would you tell people that you were from the future? That's a crazy question.
Man, I would say COVID-19. that's a timestamp right there, right?
Yeah. All right. That's good. Yeah. Well, Josh, man, I appreciate you being on the Naked Truth and taking those four questions as well. Appreciate you, your honesty and especially your time. So how can people get a hold of you? I know you had a book. I'll make sure that I'll go ahead and mention the title of the book, a website, or how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, I appreciate you having me on. This was honestly a lot of fun. I've not had this much fun on a podcast in a while. So this has been good. And you guys make sure you give Javier a shout out as well, because he's got a great show here. And I have listened to a couple of episodes that he's had out. So make sure you subscribe and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's where you're at. To connect with me, so YouTube is where I'm really pushing hard right now. Just look up Josh Culler or the Content Ninja, and that you'll find me there. We're pushing out daily YouTube videos talking about social media, talking about content marketing, video marketing, all that kind of stuff. And then I also have a podcast called the REI Marketing Weekly. So if you're listening, you're a real estate investor, go look for REI Marketing Weekly, and you'll be able to find that there. And we're going to get Javier on that show as well. But we've got some rock stars, absolute rock stars that have been on that show. So make sure you do go check that out. And then lastly, the REI Marketing book is now for sale, free plus shipping offer. It's like $5 or something like that. REIMarketingbook.com is where you can go get that. And then make sure you give a shout out to Javier and myself when you do get it, and make sure you pose for a picture. You can also follow me on, like, if you're on Facebook, you know, go friend me on Facebook, and then Instagram, I'm on there as well. And that's pretty much it.
Super cool, man. I appreciate it, Josh, being on the show. I'm Javier, your host. Don't lose your shirt.
Time consuming, it can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list. When I buy a property, when I buy an apartment building, or even a mobile home park, you can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit, it could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link, you get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.